Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Other translations put verse 28 this way: "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Amen. There is a saying, an English idiom, I suppose it would be called, but sometimes when you're just going and going and going, and somebody might say, "Well, there's no rest for the weary." But that's just not so. Amen. That's just not so. There is rest available. We may not always take advantage of the opportunity. In fact, we don't. But rest is available for the weary. And I want to preach to us for a few moments this morning, rest for the weary. Amen. To be sure, we are living in a time when so many people are stressed, weary, and burdened. Oftentimes, especially lately, I think of that old song, "Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn." Amen. The Old Testament prophet Daniel, speaking of these last days, said that people would run to and fro and knowledge shall be increased. We have certainly witnessed and are witnessing the fulfillment of that prophecy. We have more knowledge and greater technology, but less time and more stress. Anxiety is at an all-time high. People are generally stressed about work and the demands that it places on us. Some people are stressed over politics, but more than anything, most of us worry about health and family and finances and futures. We worry about our children's health. We worry about our parents' health, those whose parents are still alive and getting older. We are concerned about their health, and perhaps more than we would let on, we worry about our own health. And then there's always that looming fear of the unknown. I have the privilege of serving on the board of the Florida District United Pentecostal Church International. One of my colleagues on that board is Pastor Ray Warren of pastors in Okeechobee. In our board meetings this week in Ocala, he told us that he had been diagnosed with cancer a while back. It started in his prostate and moved into his bones. And he's been coming to the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville. And he said his oncologist told him, "You have 3 to 5 years max to live." And then he said October was 5 years. And this was on Thursday, which was November 1. And then as his voice cracked, Ray said, "It's not the dying that I'm afraid of. I'm not afraid of dying. It's the fear of the unknown that gets me." The fear of the unknown is what gets a lot of us. Amen. But our Lord says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." You who are weary with life. You who are weary with this world, you who are burdened with cares, come to me, he says. For this is the rest wherewith he causes the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, Isaiah 28. Amen. Why do we need a sanctuary? Aside from the obvious, there's a greater principle than enlargement. When Israel came out of Egypt and into the wilderness, God spoke to Moses and said, "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." At that time, he couldn't allow the people to come to him, so he had to come to them. And so he gave specific instructions on building the tabernacle. When you enter the outer court of the tabernacle, you first find an altar. It's a place of sacrifice. Then you move to a laver, a basin, a brass basin. It's for washing and cleansing. Next, you enter the first door or veil of the tabernacle, and behind that veil is the first room called the holy place. And there you will see a golden candlestick or a lampstand. It's to give light. It's to illuminate the room. Next, you come to what is called the table of showbread. It's overlaid, as everything else is, with pure gold. It's a table of 12 loaves of unleavened bread. It's eaten in sacred ceremony every 7 days. In that same room, next to the second veil, is the golden altar of incense. It's a place of worship where Aaron, the priest, the brother of Moses, would burn incense unto the Lord each and every morning and each and every evening. Then behind the second veil is the second room called the Holy of Holies. In that room, of course, is the Ark of the Covenant. And we know what that is. The Ark of the Covenant is that piece of furniture. It's overlaid with gold. It's got cherubim on top resting. Their wings are stretched out and touching. And in between those cherubim on top of that piece of furniture, that Ark of the Covenant, is what we call the mercy seat. Amen. Inside that ark are the tables of stone, the tablets of stone on which the law was written. Inside that ark as well was a pot of manna. And then also was Aaron's rod that budded. But on top is the glory of God. The Shekinah glory of God rested there on that and above that mercy seat. God was dwelling among His people. It was the glory of God. It was the presence of God. It was a manifestation of God. The book of Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 12, calls that tabernacle an earthly sanctuary. It had significant value and meaning. It was a type and shadow of what was to come. Then some 1,500 years after the establishment of that first sanctuary in the wilderness, the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God overshadowed a young Jewish girl named Mary, a descendant of David. And that girl conceived in her womb, and a child was born. And that child was the manifestation of God in the form of humanity. Amen. Hebrews tells us that everything that the tabernacle was in the wilderness was wrapped up in Jesus. He's the sacrifice on the altar. He's the water in the basin. He's the gold that covers the furniture. He's the wood underneath the gold. He's the light on the candlestick. He's the bread on the table. He's the incense that ascends. He's the veil of the Holy of Holies. He's the Ark of the Covenant. He's the Word, the manna, and the rod inside the Ark. He's the mercy seat. He's the glory of God. Amen. He's the high priest, and it's His blood that covers everything in the tabernacle. And He said, "Come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Amen. Amen. But He couldn't stay in the form of man. His purpose wasn't to live, but rather to die. And so He said, "I am with you, but I shall be in you. I will not leave you. I will come to you. It will be an extension of Me. It will be My Spirit. I will pour out My Spirit upon you. I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And 50 days after His sacrificial death and resurrection, on the day of Pentecost, He poured out His Spirit. The Holy Ghost moved again, and this time people became the church. Amen. So we went from a tabernacle in the wilderness to the tabernacle that was Jesus Christ, and then the tabernacle which is the church. Amen. But His calling still rings out, "Come unto Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And His method of coming, this method of coming to Him through His church is now, amen, the spiritual tabernacle. He said, "I don't dwell in temples made with hands anymore. What house will you build Me? But I will dwell among My people." Amen. And where there's a people, there's always been a place. Whether it was a hillside or an upper room or a home or a synagogue or an amphitheater in Greece or Rome. There's always been a place where the church gathered and the weary and the burdened could come to Him. Amen. And so, it's a designated place. It's a specified place. It's a place set apart or set aside for the weary and the burdened and the heavy laden to come to Him for rest. It's a God-ordained place where He meets with His people and His people with Him. It's a place where angels dwell. It's a place of supernatural visitation. It's a place of sacrifice. It's a place of repentance. It's a place where strength is renewed. It's a place where peace of mind is found. The tabernacle is a place where things happen, amen, that just don't happen anywhere else. The tabernacle is a place where burdens are lifted, broken hearts are healed, and broken lives are put back together. The tabernacle is a place where depression is dismantled, where joy is restored. The tabernacle is a place where the anointing flows. The tabernacle is a place where sins are washed away in baptism. The tabernacle is a place where empty souls are filled with the Holy Ghost. It's a place where we stand or we kneel or we sit in the presence of Almighty God. The presence of the Lord is in the tabernacle. Amen. Amen. The power of the Lord is there. The mercy of the Lord is there. The grace of God is there. Therefore, in the tabernacle, there is salvation for everyone who will. There is healing for every disease. There is help for every need. There is deliverance from every sin. In the tabernacle, chains of addiction are broken. Supernatural change takes place in lives. In the tabernacle, there is peace that passes understanding. And we live in a world where peace, true peace, is as elusive for many as the end of a rainbow. Amen. This week, millions of people will keep their appointment with the psychiatrist. Many of them with great jobs, great families, nice homes, but no peace. Amen. This week, more than 100 million people will take medication designed to help them deal with the lack of peace in their lives. Amen. But in John 14, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." People, they don't need another religion. They need a relationship with God. Religion gives you a band-aid. Relationship gives you rest. Amen. Religion gives you a soothing of the conscience. Relationship gives you a healing of the mind. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, weighed down, burdened, I will give you rest." And then He said, "Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden," He says, "is light." It's the greatest invitation. Come to me. Amen. Come. "Whosoever will," He said another time, "let him come." Amen. Let him come. You need rest in your mind? Come to Him. Run to Him. You need rest from a spirit of depression or the attack of depression, run to Him. Rest in your spirit, run to Him. Rest from anxiety, run to Him. Rest from worry, run to Him. Rest is not something we normally think about when we think about running to Jesus. We think about coming to Him for salvation. We think about coming to Him for forgiveness. We think about coming to Him for direction, wisdom, guidance, needs. But Jesus says, "I want you to come to me for rest. Bring your stress. Bring your pressure. Bring your anxiety," amen, "to me. Come to me, all you who are weary, heavy burdened. I will give you rest." I'm your Savior, he says. But I'm not just for salvation. I'm your provider, but I'm not just for provision. I'm your creator, but I'm more than that. I'll forgive you, but I can do more than that. Let me give you rest. What kind of rest? Rest for your soul. It's much deeper than physical rest. Amen. It's not the kind of rest you get laying on the couch or going to bed, going to sleep. But rather, it's spiritual rest. It's soul rest. It's emotional rest. It's mental rest. He's saying, let me give you strength. Let me give you peace of mind. Because physical rest is not enough. We need spiritual rest. Amen. We need rest in our minds. We need rest in our soul. We need a peace that passes understanding. That can only come from the one who speaks peace to wind and waves, and they're suddenly still. When Jesus says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and burdened, weary. He's not necessarily calling out sin alone. That invitation applies to everyone. But he's not just talking about those who are in sin. But repentance is always a prelude to peace. If you want peace, repentance should be a prerequisite. It doesn't matter if you think you haven't committed any major sin. We're all sinners. But repentance ought to be a daily practice in our lives. Repentance ought to be part of that relationship that you have with God. In fact, it is necessary that repentance be part of your relationship with God. Repentance is necessary on a daily basis. True repentance lifts a heavy burden. Amen. What a feeling to have that load lifted when you go to God in repentance. Amen. And say, oh God, forgive me. Anything and everything, God, things that I can think of, things that I can't, cleanse me, wash me. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities. Purge me from my transgressions. Amen. Cleanse me from my sin. Micah 7:18 says, who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives? You delight to show mercy. Amen. He delights to show mercy. It's not like he sighs every time you come to him for repentance. Every time you come to him needing mercy. It's not like he sighs and says, okay, one more time. No. He doesn't do that. But his mercies are new every day. His mercy is new every day. And that's good news, since we are prone to sin every day. Since we are prone to the flesh. We are prone to thoughts and attitudes and motives. Words. But even if you can't think of anything, you've got to go to God. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me again. Even though I'm not even sure what I've done, God, forgive me. Amen. Amen. Just cleanse me, Lord. Cleanse me. Because repentance is a prelude to peace. And then he says, come unto me, because if you want rest, if you want peace, then you've got to have his presence. Yeah. Amen. Amen. You get peace in his presence. It begins with repentance, but you've got to get into his presence. And you get into his presence through prayer, praise, and worship. Isaiah 26:3 says, you, O God, will keep those in perfect peace whose minds are stayed on you, whose minds are steadfast on you. Amen. And so if my mind is on him, if my heart is on him, if I'm fixed, and if I'm in a place of prayer, if I'm in a place of praise, then I can get into his presence. Amen. I can find peace in his presence. Amen. Romans 8:6 says, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's right. The reason so many people have no peace is because they are not spiritually minded. That's right. Carnally minded. Amen.
The carnal mind, says the Bible, is what? Enmity against God. But if I'm spiritually minded, doesn't mean I'm high-minded. Doesn't mean I'm so heavenly minded that I'm no earthly good. Right? Like some people like to claim others are. But if I'm spiritually minded, then my mind is just on God. And I'm seeking His face and I'm seeking His will. Even when I'm working and I'm doing all things, my mind can be on Him. And when my mind is on Him, if I'm spiritually minded, then I've got life and I've got peace. But it's when I'm carnally minded all the time and I can't find peace. Because my mind is on this and it's on that and it's on it's lust and it's pride of life and it's lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and all of these things. Amen. When I'm carnally minded, I have no peace. But when I'm spiritually minded, I've got peace. Amen. Amen. And I find peace in His presence and I can get there through prayer. Amen. Doesn't mean I have to have my eyes closed and I'm talking, and because if I'm driving, I can pray still. Amen. Amen. But sometimes I just got to get alone. Sometimes you got to go to an altar. Sometimes you got to find a closet. Sometimes you just got to find a place of prayer and praise and get into His presence and say, God, I need peace. I need peace. I need peace. I need peace. And the Bible says that He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In other words, He gives power to those who are tired. He gives power to those who are spiritually weary. He gives power to those who are emotionally weary. Amen. And to them that are weak spiritually, He increases their strength. One translation says He gives them fresh strength. Amen. Fresh strength. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. And they that wait upon the Lord shall have a fresh strength, a renewed strength. Amen. They'll have strength like an eagle's wing. They'll run and not get tired and weary and drained and not suffer anxiety. Amen. Amen. And they'll walk and they'll not fall behind. They'll not lag. Because He says, if you just come, if you will just come to Me, you can have rest. Whatever the finances look like, whatever the circumstance, whatever the sickness, whatever the disease, whatever the doctor's report, whatever the family's doing, whatever is happening on the job, all of these things that come against us, He says, come to Me. And you can find rest. Come to Me and you can find rest. Amen. Psalm 46, David said, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in time of trouble. David had peace because he had God's presence. God said, be still and know that I am God. Too many of us aren't still long enough to have God's presence and experience His peace. We're too busy. We're too busy. We've got the cares of life. We've got too much junk occupying our time. Too much stuff occupying our mind. And we let the cares of life control us. And we don't put God first. And so we end up putting God last and out. Amen. But if you want peace, if you want real peace, you've got to have God's presence. Amen. And so He says, come to Me and I will give you rest. And He says, take My yoke upon you. What does that mean? It means letting go. It means surrendering control. The reason we get weary is because we're trying to control too many things in our lives. Amen. We think we're in control, but as I've said before, it's an illusion. When you come to Him, you have to trust Him. You have to give Him control of it all. If you want rest, you've got to have His presence and you've got to trust Him in the process. Amen. I think we all know what a yoke is for. It's for plowing, especially in an environment and culture as He was in when He spoke those words. Jesus said, take My yoke upon you. Now we might think, wait, that doesn't sound like rest to me if I'm taking a yoke upon myself. Right? It sounds more like a burden. And I don't need any more burdens. And so why do I want to take another yoke or His yoke upon me? I'm already carrying too much. And that's our problem. But a yoke, the purpose of a yoke is actually to make a load lighter. It's for the benefit of the animals, right? Because instead of a harness, which is on one ox or one horse, and that one single ox or horse is pulling the wagon or the plow or the load, whatever it might be, when you yoke two animals together, you cut the load in half. And so that's why Jesus said, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light. So what does it mean when He says, take My yoke upon you? Well, it means two things. First, it means that a yoke is a symbol of a partnership. Right. It means I'm connecting myself with Him. I'm joining myself to Him. I'm coming to Him for rest. And He says, then take My yoke. I'm saying, okay. Okay, God. I'm taking your yoke. I'm surrendering control of it all. I don't want control of it. I'm giving it all up to you. And He's saying, take My yoke, and I will help you carry the load. I will give you rest. Don't try to do this on your own. Amen. Amen? Amen. Now, what He's not saying is quit your job, quit everything, just kick back and relax. I'll pay the bills. I'll do it all for you. That's not what He's saying. Right? And so we still work. Right? We still have circumstances. We still have situations. We still have all of these things that are in our lives. And God can touch and God can help and God can heal and fix anytime He wants to. But the purpose of taking His yoke is that I'm not carrying this load by myself anymore. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to fret. I don't have to have anxiety because I'm yoked up with Him. Amen. And He can handle it. He can take care of it. And He promises me rest. You see, He doesn't add to your load. He just shares your load. He shares your burden. He says, let Me handle that. Let Me take that. I can give you rest. You're not taking His load because He doesn't have a load. He's God. Nothing is too hard for Him. And He's not asking you to help Him run the universe. His only problem is you and I. That's it. That's always been and always will be His problem is humanity. Amen. It started in the beginning. The first couple messed everything up. And we've been messing things up ever since. And so He's like, my only burden is you. So, amen. So I say yes. Yes, Lord, link me up with You. Link me up with You. Amen. And when we do that, He says, come on, I'm going to give you rest. Just let me lead you. It looks like it's all on you, but it's really not. It's really not. People are going to look at you and say, wow, you're carrying a heavy load. And you're going to say, yeah, I know, but really He's carrying it all. Amen? Because I'm linked up with Him. I'm yoked up with Him. And He gives me rest. And He gives me peace. And He gives me strength. And so, when I yoke up with Him, I just say, okay, God, this is, you said to surrender it all. You said to yoke up with You. Take Your yoke. And I've done that. And I'm trusting You. You're in control. Doesn't mean I neglect my responsibilities. It doesn't mean any of that. But it means that You're in control and I don't have to worry. You're going to make a way. I'm still going to work. Yes. I'm still going to do the things I know to do. I'm still going to do my responsibilities and all of those things. But God, You're in control. You're in control and You're going to make a way. And when I surrender and I know that and I believe that with all my heart and all my soul, then I find rest and peace in Him. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. He said, my yoke is easy. That's good news because mine's not. Neither is yours. Amen. Right? Anybody here got an easy yoke? Of course not. And so if you're under a lot of stress, if you're under a lot of pressure, if you're dealing with anxiety and worry and all of these things, it's because your yoke is not easy. And so why not trade it for an easier yoke? Yeah. And that's His. And so if I'm stressed out, if I'm worried, if I'm suffering anxiety and I feel like depression is attacking my mind, then I have to question myself, am I carrying this yoke or am I in His yoke? Because this ain't easy. Amen. Now, it doesn't mean you're not saved, doesn't mean you're not baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. You might even be everything else is good. You're on your way to heaven. But if you're under too much stress and you're under too much pressure, it means you're not under His yoke. And a lot of good people, a lot of good Christians are not under His yoke. And that's why He's saying, come to Me. Come to Me. You who are weary. You who are heavy burdened. Come to Me. I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you. Amen. Take My yoke. Don't stop trying to pull your own yoke. Stop trying to carry it yourself. You are not in control. And the sooner you realize that, the better. The sooner you realize that I need to get under His yoke and let Him pull it. Let Him do it. Let Him take this. Let Him take all of this and just lead me and guide me. And God, direct my steps. Guide my paths, O Lord. Take this. Give me strength every day. Every day when my feet hit the floor, God, give me strength. Give me direction. Show me what to do. Open doors and close doors. Amen. Do what You want to do. Touch every situation. Touch the hearts and minds of the people I will encounter today. In Jesus' name, take it, God, take it. And if I will do that, if I will come to Him, and if I will yoke up with Him, then even though it's all still there, it's the same project, it's the same this, and it's the same that, if I will yoke up with Him, I can walk hand in hand. I can walk side by side with the Lord, and I can have rest. I can have peace. I don't have to worry. Oh, hallelujah. It's total surrender. It's what it is. It's total surrender and it's raw dependence upon Him. Amen. You see, the truth is we all are yoked by something. Amen. All of us, we're yoked by something. We yoke ourselves to something. It might be a job. It might be career. It might be education. It might be entertainment. There's all kinds of things that we yoke ourselves to. But I suggest to us today the easiest yoke. Because He said His is easy. He said His burden is light. I would rather have that. Amen. The word easy there in that scripture in New Testament Greek means completely, perfectly fitted. Basically, it means custom made. When God puts a yoke on you, it fits. Amen. It's not too heavy. It's not too big. It's not too small. It doesn't shape. It doesn't choke. It doesn't drag you down. It fits perfectly. Amen. Because it is custom made for you. Amen. He makes it to fit perfectly. So he says, take my yoke. In other words, it's an exchange. It's an exchange. You take my yoke, I'll take your burden. I'll take your heaviness. I'll take your anxiety. I'll take your worry. I'll take all of these things from you. I'll exchange with you. Right? I'll exchange it with you. You come to me, I'll give you rest for your unrest. I'll give you peace, amen, where there is no peace. I'll give you healing where there's sickness. I'll give you strength where there's weakness. It's an exchange. And he's calling to us today, come to me. Come unto me, all of you. Come unto me, all of you. If you're weary, if you're burdened, if you're heavy laden, come unto me. I will give you rest. Oh, let's stand today. Oh, hallelujah. If you want rest from cares of life, the struggles, all those things, if you want peace from all of that stuff that's got you burdened down, that's got you worrying all the time, he says, come to me. Come to me. Peace is not problem-free living. It's not the absence of conflict. There'll always be conflict. It's not having everything go your way. It's not going to always go your way.
Amen.
But peace and rest from anxiety and worry and all of these things, that peace is in him. Amen. In him alone. You need it. I need it. And this city needs it. Amen. Amen. And so for this city to find rest and peace, you and I must find it first.
Amen.
It is imperative that we walk yoked with him.
That's right.
It is imperative that we be yoked with him. Amen. Amen. Peace. Peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit. Amen. Peace, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Anybody need rest today? You just feel like you need rest in your soul, rest in your spirit, rest in your mind. That's all I have to say is what he said, come to me. That's all he gave me was that one scripture for this church today. Just come to me and I will give you rest. Come to me, I will give you rest. I will give you peace. I will give you strength. And so here it is. It's up to you now. It's up to you. It's up to me. It's up to all of us. Let's cry out to him. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. He says, come to me. Come to me. I will give you rest. I will give you peace. I will give you strength. I invite everybody in this house to come. Let's find a place to pray. Or you can stand, sit, or kneel where you are. But let's find a place to pray. Let's cry out to God. Let's cry out to God in this sanctuary for a few more moments this afternoon. Let's cry out to God. It's available. Peace, strength, rest. It's available in this house right now. It's available in his presence. It's available in this place right here. Right now. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's cry out to God. Let's cry out to God. Lord God, we come to you this afternoon. We need rest in our minds. We need rest in our souls. We need rest in God. It's not just physical rest, but kind of rest we need. It's affecting us physically. It's affecting us emotionally. It's affecting us spiritually, Lord. And we need you. We need your kind of rest, God. We need your kind of rest. We need your kind of peace, Lord. We need your yoke. Oh, Lord God, we cry out to you. Help us. Help us, God. Help us, Lord God. Help us, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord God, speak peace in this place. Give rest in this place right now. I thank you, Lord God, for this great invitation to come. I thank you for this opportunity, God, for us to come. Oh, Lord, come. Rest. Rest. Peace. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah.
You don't know what to do. Why don't you just worship? Worship.
Hallelujah, Jesus. You see, it's more than just one service, okay? Peace is more than just one service, okay? God's going to help somebody right now because you're going through a cycle. You get stress. Then you're like, okay, God, I'll let go. And then you're like, okay, I have peace. And then you take the yoke again. And you get stress, worry, anxiety, which anxiety is just the fear of loss of control.
Right.
So your fear that you're not going to be the God of your life.
Amen.
But this is every day. Every day. First Peter, he says, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you.
Amen.
That word cast is literally to throw upon. You want to know what Colin Taylor does every morning? Because Colin Taylor has real problems too. Okay? Every morning, I'm praying, I say, Lord, you see this, you see this, you see this, you see this, cast it. This is what I do. I physically.
Amen.
That's yours, not mine. When I cast that, I cast it. I don't pick it back up.
Right.
I could if I wanted to, but why would I do that?
Right.
And so this is everyday living.
Yeah.
I can't imagine my life with peace every day. Do it every day, and you'll be in peace every day.
Amen.
The Bible says, the meek shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. There's an abundance of peace waiting for the people of God. There's an abundance of peace.
Right.
I could tell you situations right now that I'm going through, but I have peace.
Right.
You wouldn't even think I'm going through half the stuff that I've gone through.
Right.
I have peace. Because it's not for me to worry. It's not for me to care about.
Right.
Somebody said at a prayer conference yesterday, he said, the two greatest things that would steal your joy, yesterday and tomorrow. Those are not even real. They're not even real. But if we can focus on today, he said, seek my kingdom first. He didn't say the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning is do your budget. He didn't say make phone calls. He didn't say just go straight to work. He said, you seek my kingdom first. And trust me, and you could try it for yourself. It's not my word. It's God's word. But every day, I just challenge you. Whatever situation you're going through, because the situation is still the same, by the way.
Right.
That doesn't change. The only thing that changes is you.
Right.
Is that you choosing not to care.
Exactly.
Literally, choosing not to care.
Amen.
And just casting it to the Lord.
Amen.
And when we live like that every day, things are going to happen. They'll come up in front of you. There may be a shock, maybe like, oh. But then it's like, but wait. That's, you knew this before it was even going to happen, Jesus. That's all yours. Because God's not going to deliver you from everything. And that's why you need peace to get through it.
Amen.
Praise God. What an awesome message. A needed message. Amen.
Amen.
God is going to stretch forth and literally cover this place with peace, the city with peace, this sanctuary. Well, no, I'm saying sanctuary like where the church, like the sanctuary will be a place of an abundance of peace.
Amen.
That people are going to need to cast their cares. And if we're not living like that, then what makes us different than the world?
Amen.
Praise God. Amen.